Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.
Welcome to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Steve is the founder of Financial Solutions for Business, the author of the Ultimate Business Owner Plan, and certified exit planning advisor. He uses his 25 years of working with successful business owners and interviews with top advisors and successful business owners to help baby boomer business owners create the business and the life they have always dreamed of. Now, here's Steve.
Thank you, Spike, once again, and welcome back to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show. We've had a great day so far with two fascinating estate planning attorneys with a little bit different takes on how they help clients. But we've got someone completely different now. We've got Ilya Kuncevich, who is the managing partner of Beverly Investment Group in Beverly Hills. And Ilya is the author of a book called Economical Equilibrium, The Geometry of Economics. And I think this is going to be a fascinating 20 minutes here. Ilya, thank you very much for joining us. How are you today?
Very good, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. I'm really excited to hear about your thoughts on where we're at. And I think all of our listeners want to know where we're at with the market rising the way that it has, and 2008, 2009 being, you know, 5-6 years behind us, but feels like yesterday for many of us. Before we get into that, give us a little bit of your background, Ilya, if you would.
Absolutely. I'm a Russian-American. I grew up in Moscow. I moved to America in 2000 and then came back to Russia and then came here for good in 2004. I have an undergraduate degree in economics from Moscow State Finance Academy, and I have my master's from UCLA Anderson Business School.
Interesting.
So I spent 10 years in public accounting, focusing specifically on investment banks, and mortgage banks. And also I have 2 years of high-frequency trading experience as well as private equity experience on purchasing of distressed debt before I started Beverly Investment Group with my business partner, Philip Landau.
Got it. What brought you to the United States? Obviously, with the you know, strong economy in Russia, I'm sure there was a lot of opportunity there. What brought you here originally in 2000?
Sure. So I'm my personality, I always learn new things. I cannot I never feel accomplished if there's something I don't know. And given I have chosen finance as the area of my career, back in the 90s, when Russia was going through a transition from the planned economy into the market economy, there was not much to learn. I mean, it was wild capitalism, and things were not great. Then in the USA, the finance sector was booming. We all know this.
Yes.
Dot-com boom, and I wanted to see what's really going on, why there's such a drastic difference between the two systems. So I came to the U.S. as a part of Arthur Andersen firm. It was an intercompany rotation.
I see.
So I was placed in Los Angeles. And then after I got to know the financial system, the banking system, the investment system of the U.S., it struck me that I need to get my MBA and to kind of learn the fundamentals of the system to see what's actually going on, because on the surface it all seemed fine and vibrant, but I didn't know what was driving the vibration and dynamics of the system. So I moved here for good to get my MBA and to become a financier at full scale.
Got it. Yeah, very, very, very interesting. So now that you've opened, how long ago did you open Beverly Investment Group then?
4 years ago. I started it after I finished UCLA Anderson.
And you finished your MBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about the types of clients that you work with now and a little bit about the Beverly Investment Group.
Of course. So we are predominantly focused on institutional clients, and we provide both asset management and risk management advice for them. And our clients are international, both Russian and USA companies.
I see.
As well as we manage the investments for high net worth individuals or accredited investors. Since we're a private investment firm, we cannot solicit to a general public. So basically the threshold is $1 million to begin with. And we look at market different from the mainstream Wall Street, if there is such thing, of course. And that's why our clients like us a lot.
Well, let's get into that a little bit. Let's talk about how you look at it differently than the typical Wall Street firm. You know, how you see things, why have we had these financial and economic crises in the past, and why is it difficult to predict those with current financial models?
Of course. So this is a great question, and the answer is, I wish the answer was could fit within 5-10 minutes of the interview that we have, but I'll try to make it as simple and understandable for everyone as I can. You see, the finance formulas and economics formulas that we use today were derived by the economists shortly after the World War II in the 50s and 60s. And they were using, unfortunately, a linear mathematics. Linear mathematics is what is a certain way of representing economical data points. So it was easier for them to plot it on the line. And I understand why they did it, because after the World War II, everyone was happy and excited, and life was, you know, great, and everyone wanted to contribute more to economics and so on and so forth. So the economists presumed that this was the status quo of economics. So they designed these linearity-based mathematics formulas to explain economic events, which was obviously flawed. And it was flawed for a simple reason of the fact that we live in a four-dimensional universe, right? It's volume plus time. And the data points cannot be, I mean, they, of course, can be plotted on the line, but in reality, it's a complex system which has more than two dimensions, which is what linear mathematics does. So
understand.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, sure did. I think that's interesting. So then how does, you know, when you look at it, what really is the cause of economic crises?
Of course. So the cause is, by the way, has nothing to do with how economics is portrayed by the formulas, because economics functions on its own laws, which are still to be properly reflected. So what drives economics, in my second part, I will answer why the modern formulas cannot predict or anticipate the crisis coming. So what causes economic crisis is when contribution does not match the demand. In other words, if economic participants, people, stop contributing to economy as much as they demand or consume from the economy, that's when the crisis occurs. So, for example, if we take the most recent crisis of 2007-2008, the monetary stimulus by the Federal Reserve on reduction of the interest rates created a lot of, let me call it, useless jobs, which were not in demand of the general public otherwise. So this was actually hurting the economy, but in the short term, obviously, it boosted. It was like an adrenaline shot to a dying patient. So it boosted the heart rate and everything. Everyone was excited. So, and to the first part, which I wanted to elaborate a little bit more, the reason why linear mathematics cannot predict the crisis is because when you look at the line and it's trending up, you make a hypothesis that it will continue to go up. But unfortunately, a linear visualization is better for speed or velocity. If you talk to a physics or mathematics professor, they will explain it the same way. Line is a good fit for measuring of the rate or a speed of the system, but line is never good for measurement of the integrity of the system as a whole.
Okay.
So unfortunately, when you look at the line, when you look at, let's say, Bloomberg or Dow Jones or S&P 500, you see these indexes trending up and up and up and up, and you're like, okay, well, so it's going up, it will last forever. But it's not fair, it's not true representation of the underlying events in economics, unfortunately.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I don't see why more people in your position don't see it that way, because you explain it so well that it makes perfect sense. So, from your standpoint,
I'm trying to conquer the main street of economics. You will not believe it, Steve, how arrogant and how ignorant the economists of the mainstream economics are. When you try to explain to them something simple as I just did to you, they say, oh, you don't understand it, you're flat wrong, that's not how economics works, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an uphill battle, and the more I talk on the radio, the more I talk to people about this idea, et cetera, the more reception I receive, and the next step actually is to start collaborating with academia, which is what I started, to publish white papers and research presenting economic data using this theory and saying, look, guys, it's okay to see it how quickly economics is growing, but unless you consider the factors which are driving that growth, you're basically still looking at the rear view mirror and driving the car, but you don't know when the end is coming. So that's basically what I'm trying to fix.
That makes perfect sense. I wish you a lot of luck, because it seems like you make a great case for how we need to look at things differently to avoid these types of messes in the future. So how do you take that approach in your economic models and different way of looking at things? How do you translate into working with institutional clients and ultra high net worth clients, as you mentioned?
Sure. So this is where, I always have a personal conflict of my idea of economics and how the system still works, because we all have to make a living and earn money. So unfortunately, I have to use the inefficiency of the existing system to make money. And this is very sad. But to answer your question, now you see my point. But to answer your question, asset classes, let's say stocks or bonds or real estate or commodities, they can be undervalued. And we can see the spread between what the existing market is versus how much liquidity is in that market, to see where that spread is the largest, and that's how we exploit the inefficiency. So the market, unfortunately, is not efficient by itself. It creates many gaps where wealth can be made. And we use those inefficiencies to create wealth, which is what I'm hoping to stop as the theory and its application progresses, because in many instances, for example, economic growth is achieved at the expense of finite natural resources or damage to the ecology of our planet. And while it's justified economically, because such things are called externalities, they're not accounted for, it's not a very conscientious way of leading our lives, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
So then you
look at all those different areas, all the different asset classes, and try to find opportunities within those, and so are very different from other managers, perhaps, in that you look at many asset classes. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. So, for example, right now we're majority of our investments for individual clients is in hard money loans. I'm sure you heard that term.
Yes. Yep.
It's because the real estate has the highest elasticity to monetary base. So the more money the government prints, the higher real estate prices are in prime areas. It's because the people who own it would not be willing to sell it if inflation is looming. And
yes.
But unfortunately, the banks right now, they're tapped out. They don't have enough capital to finance construction or to finance what used to be called the home equity lines of credit. And this is a very good opportunity right now to make money.
Interesting. Huh. I would have thought that the bank would have lost with all their deposits.
Well, unfortunately, the bank's model is flawed excessively. And whatever they do right now to save the banks, it's actually hurting them more than helping them. Banks should have been allowed to fail in 2008. This would have spurred the right investment decisions by the banks. But right now we're just keeping the patient who is dying, we're keeping him alive with these adrenaline shots, what they call quantitative easing. But it's not helping, unfortunately. It's actually hurting the economy more than it's helping. And that's a very sad observation that I have to speak up, because I fundamentally disagree with how the monetary policy and how the I would say banking sustainability policy is being enforced right now in our country.
Interesting. So that's just one example of what you're doing now because of the situation. But as times change and conditions evolve, then you look at other opportunities wherever those might lie, as alternative as they might be for clients' money. Is that pretty much how you look at things?
Absolutely. You have to be. It's like a radar. So we look at all asset classes on our radar, and we see which asset classes are undervalued or overvalued. And we don't make any. You will not believe it, but we don't have any derivatives or anything that has a questionable value. Because those instruments were initially derived as. Something that can preserve value, but as we all know, as it turned out, all the asset-backed securities, etc., had no substantial value at all, which is what caused the crisis in the first place in 2008, at least from the monetary standpoint. So right now it's you're right. Right now it's hard money loans. There's also great opportunities for specific stocks. You can look at individual stocks to see how they do in comparison to the rivals. So, for example, Tesla was a great investment of ours last year when they came up with Model S, while they're cannibalizing the market share of GM and Ford. It's you basically, if you look at it from a closed system standpoint, as we do, you can identify the winners and the losers, and you put your stakes on the winners. So it's like a rat race in a way. Unfortunately, it should not be that way, because the stock market was not designed as a trading mechanism. It was designed as a value preservation mechanism. But again, over the past 10 years, everything that has been happening in the stock market has become, unfortunately, nothing but Las Vegas, especially with high-frequency trading firms abusing it and skimming the profits of the investors at the same time. So there's a lot of cleanup work that needs to be done in our financial system, that I can assure you.
Well, obviously, and I could sit and talk to you all day. You're a fascinating guest, and I thank you for coming on the show and offering your wisdom and your insight. I want our listeners to be able to get in touch with you and or benefit from your knowledge through your book. What's the best way to get in touch with you and get our hands on a copy of the book, Ilya?
Of course. So we created the book's website. It is www.economicalequilibrium.com. And my email address is Ilya, I-L-Y-A, at beverlyig.com.
Great. Okay. So
if you go to the book's website, you can download
website.
It. Yeah.
Download it right from there. I would definitely do that. www.economicalequilibrium.com to get a hands on the website, or email Ilya with any questions at Ilya at it's at beverlyinvestmentgroup.com.
Beverly IG.
I apologize. Yep. Ilya at beverlyig.com. So once again, thank you very much, Ilya. I appreciate it, and I hope that you'll come back on the show in the future as times change, and we can talk about some of the opportunities in the future.
Oh, thank you, Steve, and I actually look forward to it. I think we have to speak to more people about this, and obviously when the right time comes, I will be delighted to be again on your show.
That's great. We look forward to it. So have a great weekend. Thank you very much, Ilya, and we look forward to talking to you in the future. So let's take another break. We've got another area to cover coming up with Raymond Gervais about really focusing on how to create that business of your dream. So let's take a few moments here and take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with you.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Please visit ultimatebusinessowner.com to contact Steve for more tips, strategies, and precautions to help you create the business and the life you have always dreamed of. Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.